This is the HopeCast Network, stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome to TV Torture Together, the podcast where we,
your favorite married couple,
dive into the world of TV shows one episode at a time. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Laura, and each week we watch and dissect everything from drama to comedy, sci-fi to reality TV.
Whether we're loving a show,
hating it,
or just somewhere in between,
we bring our honest, no-holds-barred opinions,
and of course, some laughs along the way.
So grab your popcorn,
get cozy,
and join us as we break down our favorite binge-worthy shows.
One review at a time. Let's get started. Hi, Laura.
Hello, hello. It seems like it's been years since we've recorded.
It does feel like years since we recorded. We recorded last week, aka 32 minutes ago.
Yeah. It's been a while.
The magic of podcasting, where to the world it seems like it's a week, to us it's but a minute.
Yes, yes. For our two faithful listeners, my mom and someone else.
That's right. Hey, we will take any listener. We love all of our listeners, and every one of you. So last week, we got to talk. Well, first of all, we're jumping a step here. What have you been watching, Laura?
We are. What have I been watching? So there is a new show on HBO or HBO Max or Max, whatever they are this week, called Back to the Frontier. So not Back to the Future, but Back to the Frontier. So it's about three families that are transported back into time to live as they would in 1890s.
Yes. Yes.
And there you go. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. I mean, watch it. Only one episode so far as now of recording has been released. But yeah, it's just kind of fun to see what modern conveniences people really are clinging to. For one of the mothers in particular, it was makeup. It was makeup.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, yeah. I've been watching this new show that also came out on HBO called The New Frontier. To where these three different families, they go back to the 1800s and try to live in without their modern conveniences that they're so used to that they no longer have. And that's what we've been watching together. It's a funny, the first episode is pretty hilarious. Like Laura said, it's funny to see how we get attached to our modern conveniences. As one particular family, the mother was having a breakdown because one, there was no shower. So you ain't bathing unless you're getting in the river. And two, you were pooping in a hole in an outhouse. And that just was not going to fly with her either. So I'm not sure what they thought they were signing up for when they joined a show that says we're going back to the 1880s.
Right.
But, she had the mind frame. I think she thought they were staying at the Marriott, and she was still going to have her comfy bed, toilet, and shower.
I mean, it must have been a heck of a hotel that they set her up in, that she's like that upset. But, you know, here we go.
Like you said, one family, the mother and the daughters are very attached to their makeup and were having a meltdown that they were about to be on camera with no makeup. And it's like, you're about to be dirty and stinky and smelly. So I think you'll be okay with no makeup. You're in the 1800s.
You'll be fine. I mean, the only people that are going to see you are the other participants. It's not like they're...
That's true.
It just reminds me of there is... way back in the day when we used to work at the Mall of America, there was a guy who was living in a glass box, and he was called the human doing instead of the human being. And he just lived in this glass box. I don't know for how long, like 30 days maybe. I don't know.
It was like a month. Yeah, it was wild.
I was in the box with him for a short period of time. I got to deliver a package to him from the store that I worked at. I got to bring him an Xbox and a Kinect way back in the day, if you remember the Kinect.
Good old Kinect.
I worked for Microsoft, so I got to bring him and be in his box. And it was a very spacious box, but it was a glass box that he was just living in the mall. And weird.
So weird. So weird.
It is so weird. So weird.
Well, this week, Laura, we are actually continuing a conversation that we had last week. We thought this would be a cool idea to spend some time on before we jump into our next series, which will be a fun one. Yes. So if you're looking forward to what's coming up, our next month of episodes are going to be shows that I know my partner are going to hate. So we are picking shows we love, and we're making the other person watch it and enjoy that show. So it'll be a great time. I'm sure there'll be some great conversations around these shows that we'll be watching. So that's coming up for the next month. So look forward to that. But again, this week we're going to talk about, last week we talked about reminiscing about some game shows that we loved, kind of what we grew up knowing as game shows and kind of the big iconic classics of game shows. And this week, Laura, I really wanted to focus on, are game shows still relevant today like they were in like the early 2000s, 90s, 80s, 70s? Or are they a thing of the past? Are they as significant as they once were?
Short answer, long answer. Would you like to start?
We'll start with One Piece because you brought this up last week, and I cut you off because I didn't want you to ruin the good material you had going for this week. And you had brought up a good starting point. You said to you, game shows were something you remember doing when you stayed home sick from school, curled up on the couch, and you just binged game shows.
Yeah, when I think of game shows, I think of being homesick. And when I think of being homesick, I think of The Price is Right. I mean, I think of Bob Barker telling me the price of a 1997 Ford convertible. I think of a washing machine. I think of a treadmill. And I think of the Barker's beauties showcasing and demonstrating these things. I think they were a big part of the show. I think of all of the fun games. Plinko, Hole in One. That one, I can't remember what it's called. Cliffhanger, yes. And it just like, or the one where they the car and they have to like, they roll a dice and they have to guess if it's higher or lower than the dice. Just the punch one where they punch things.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want to be on The Price is Right?
You're absolutely correct. And, you know, before we started recording this show, we kind of talked about this. And I think about now today as an adult, like, I don't watch game shows at all, nor do I remember how I was able to watch game shows, because most of these game shows you talk about, especially your more iconic classic ones, were daytime TV Monday through Friday. Only a select few were in the evening on TV. Most of these were daytime. Right. So it's like Price is Right being the biggest iconic game show that's out there was a 10 a.m. Monday through Friday show. So the only way you were watching this is during summer break. Or if you're at home sick, because otherwise you were either at school or working.
Yeah, yeah.
So now as an adult.
I mean, once a year they would do primetime week and they would show these things on primetime. But the prizes were usually bigger, but it didn't have the same appeal.
And like I said, now as an adult, and maybe you have a different experience on this, but as an adult now, like, I don't even think of game shows. Like, I just.
That is a lie. That is a lie, because we were very heavily invested a few months back in one particular game show.
That's true. We did watch
Beast Games.
Okay, Beast Games. Here's a great point. I would love you bring up an excellent point, though.
Yes.
Have game shows changed to what they used to be? Or do we think of game shows different in different terms? Like game shows like The Price is Right, where it's kind of like a very structured thing, right? Like you got called from the stands, you went down, you guessed your prize, maybe you got to go up. To where now, to me, game shows of today are a bigger, grandiose experience.
Yeah. So I would say a lot of it, like before, was like what you knew, like the price of things, like Supermarket Sweep, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune even, like knowing like phrases and, you know, clues, things like that. But when I think of game shows today, I think of like Fear Factor. I think of Beast Games, like where you're doing something like physical or something you don't want to do. Big Brother, who wants to live in a house with strangers? I don't. Sure. Who wants to like, what was that one on MTV? Road Rules. Yes. I would not want to be on Road Rules. I wouldn't want to be doing extreme things.
The newer one we just watched that was really good, where you had to try to escape and no one catch you. to win the money.
Oh, like, yes, get me out of here is what it was called.
The money would keep climbing and certain people would get clues on how they could, something like that. Where people would get clues or they'd be like, okay, this is your moment. This is the door that's going to open. You have your shot to try to escape, and there'd be a button in the middle of the house to stop them. So like, that's kind of my point of like, you don't, the game shows don't do like the classic.
Gotta get out. Yes.
Game shows nowadays don't do that classic kind of, we're here to win some prizes and we're moving on. Usually there's a big cash prize and there's like an experience to get to that prize, right? Do you, which format do you enjoy best?
Which format? Sorry, you lost me.
Do you like the traditional game show?
Oh,
or do you enjoy the, which format do you like best?
Sorry, I got lost. I was looking at trying to find the name of that game show. I like the traditional game shows. I like the, you know, no whammy, stop. One game show that we didn't really talk about too from the olden times was like the newlywed game. Like, how well do you know somebody? Or the one where they brought in the secretaries and it was like, who knows you best, your wife or your secretary? I can't remember what it was called. But so I definitely prefer the traditional. I don't like people doing scary things. It makes me scared. I don't like people getting hurt. It makes me scared. I don't like people watching people do gross things. I would rather, you know, a man be uncomfortable between his secretary knowing him better than his wife or something like that.
You know, something to that effect. A biggest change I think I see with how we grew up with game shows and a lot of people grew up with game show now, I think – back in the day, right? And I could be, we're aging ourselves here. We're making ourselves sound so old. We got to hurry up and wrap up this podcast because it's bedtime.
Exactly. The sun's still out. We got to go to bed.
It is. But I feel like game shows of the past, you could participate in at home. Like, it always had an element of the game show where you could answer questions. You could be a part of the experience. Right. You could get even the most relevant show that we even have a podcast on this network that talks about The Floor. I have many reserves of The Floor. Now it's boring to me because it's doing the same thing over and over again. But in the new age of game shows, it was a game show where you could participate at home and like enjoy the show. And I don't think game shows are built that way any longer. It's now just a watching experience.
Right. When you think about Survivor, I cannot do that at home. I mean, I could eat rice and wear like a crop top and like a do-rag or whatever, but I can't do Survivor at home. But I can identify beans.
Yes. Or maybe not. But you can try.
I will know at least one bean that comes out, or yoga poses, or modes of transportation. Like, it was funny because we were listening to a YouTuber, and we're definitely not bashing The Floor, but he said it was the equivalent of like doing flashcards with your toddler. It's like, show me a picture of horse. What is it? Horse. What does the horse say? Nay.
It's like, but he's not wrong. Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong.
Kind of is. He's not wrong. That's why it was so funny.
And we had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's a fun show to play along with. But I mean, it is that quick. But that's what made, I think, game shows so much fun, because it was an experience. Like, last week we talked about Family Feud. Like, you always participated on Family Feud. You were always giving your five top answers and seeing if you were hitting the number one answers. Like, it was just more. It was more than just watching. It was just an experience. And now I feel like your Fear Factors, your Beast Games, Survivor, all those types of games, they're fun in their own right and they bring something different, but it's more just like a watching experience than it is I feel like I'm part of the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And it's like, so these game shows, especially the older ones, another great question I wanted to bring up with these, when you think of the older game shows, because some of these have been remade, they have come back.
Yes.
Do you think they lose their luster when they're remade? Because they're usually with different hosts or people you don't recognize. Like, prime example, I'm going to throw out an example here. The Price is Right. Bob Barker, iconic. When you think Price is Right, Bob Barker. Okay?
Right.
That's who I think of. Drew Carey now runs The Price is Right. And I think it's lost what The Price is Right was, because there was just something about Bob Barker. It was his show, right?
Yes. It definitely was. New hosts can come in. I think a Family Feud is.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Lots of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
Great example of that. There's been a lot of different hosts of the Family Feud, and I think they all have an appeal. They've all been someone's favorite. I was a camp counselor, and that's what I loved about having so many different camp counselors was because there was always someone that you could relate to. So I think that's the best part. I don't think there's a problem with that. I think the problem is people are looking for big prizes. People aren't happy with a $1,000 prize anymore. And so companies have to come up with these grand things when, like, it was simple, like that one show, like where you had to guess there were three people to tell the truth. Like they,
oh, yes.
There was one story and one of them's lying. Like pick that them out. Or the one where they had to guess like their job or something. So I liked simple shows like that.
I have to admit something real quick because this is going to be quite funny. So we're just going to blast myself on this one. So I've been one and I will take full thing here, fall on my sword. I've given a lot of flack to The Floor, okay?
Yes.
I was a big fan of The Floor. I am now one of the biggest critiquers of The Floor and how boring it's gotten, and it's the same old thing. But here's the thing. I'm not giving it fair justice because I loved Deal or No Deal, and that show was exactly the same. Nothing changed about Deal or No Deal. You literally picked a briefcase, you selected briefcases, that was it. But I loved it. And I would watch it all the time. Yeah. So maybe it just appealed to me differently. But
those things lose steam eventually. Like, okay. True. You know, I've seen them pick the briefcase. I've seen them win. It's kind of lost its appeal when you can now play it at like Chuck E. Cheese or Dave and Buster's.
Good point. Because if you think about it, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Huge show.
Yes.
And really kind of just fell off the map. Like pretty quick.
Meredith Vieira took over.
Yeah.
That's what Jacob's trying to say. He doesn't want anyone. No. He only wants original hosts. Get out of there, Ken Jennings. Get out. We want Alex Trebek only.
But
even though he's gone.
Does it not say something though? Because as a lot of times though, those hosts made the show. Like, it wasn't specifically just a game show.
It's like anything. You get involved in the people that are producing. Like, you come for them. Like, people are watching Rob Lowe talk to the people on The Fuller. People want to see how Richard Dawson is interacting with these families on Family Feud. People want to see now Steve Harvey on Family Feud. Like, they're the ones, they're the face of the show. They're the ones that keep them coming back. You know, Vanna White, Pat Sajak, like, they're the icons on Wheel of Fortune. Someone could say I was on Wheel of Fortune and you're not going to remember their episode. It doesn't, you know, people are interchangeable.
And maybe that's some of it, right? I mean, over time, tastes change, different views of things change. And you kind of touched on it a bit here, right? Like your traditional game show, as we would consider a traditional game show, there was no really camaraderie between contestants, right? You were there to answer some questions. Like you said, you would do your one episode, Bob's your uncle, you win, you lose, you go on about your life. To where like when you brought up Survivor or these other type of shows, you kind of build the family, right? Like, and this camaraderie, even like The Biggest Loser, like that was in itself a technically a game show.
We didn't even talk
about The Biggest Loser. Yeah. That was a show me and you like just delved in to get every season we were invested, you know?
So are you saying that you like more of those ones where we invest in the contestants, we spend longer with them, we get to know them a little bit better?
I think they both bring their thing. I can understand the appeal to go towards more of those experience type shows, game shows, because of that, because you do get invested to where I would say like the traditionalist more game shows, it's more of an experience. You can have fun at home, but you're not invested into anybody. Like you just don't care. Like, sure. You're just, you don't even care if the people win. You're just having fun answering the questions and doing a thing and having your dreams of, I would love one day to be on the show and how good I would do, right? Like, I watch Survivor and I'm not going, man, I want to be on Survivor. I don't want to go poop in the wilderness. I don't want to, no, I have no desire for that.
No, nor watch. Well, and I think you bring up a good point that there's shows that we can play as an audience, and that's why we enjoy the show. And those don't need a face because we become the face and the contestant. And then we have the consumable game shows where there's a cast of characters. Like The Bachelor, I would consider like a game show. Like there's a prize at the end is the person. Yeah.
What I'm surprised they haven't done this. What if they put on like a new game show, okay? Fox TV. Fox is picking this up. It's such a great show. Fox is going to pick it up.
Yeah.
I talked about it. They're in, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's no contestants on the actual show. You still get a host, and it's like a quiz type show. But okay. The audience is the players. Like, everybody's playing from their phone.
Okay. And
each week, you log in at the time the show's live on TV, you log in and you're answering your questions, and people get eliminated as your score doesn't meet the certain threshold until you get down to like the final like 10 contestants. You don't have to fly anybody anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You could do everything through network and Zooms, and when you get down to the last 5 or 10, you just do it over video stuff. I think that would be something different and epic and cool.
It would be, but Google.
Google what?
I mean, like, what kind of show would this be? Because I could just Google the answer and always be right. I mean,
there's true, but there's things they can do nowadays to where you can monitor that, like, you.
That's it, like, crazy expensive. I'd rather fly, you know, get some guy who's touring the Burbank studios of something off the street. You pay him $100 for an appearance fee. Like, absolutely not. There's no way they could scale this at home. Great idea. Babe, great idea.
I think they could.
Well, okay.
The technology is there. I think it would be great. It would be fun.
Well, and I think it brings up, like, when we go to Buffalo Wild Wings and they have, like, trivia going, you know, things like that. Like, I think – so I'd kind of like to shift, if you don't mind, to, like, how can we have a game show-like experience? So, like, Buffalo Wild Wings, trivia nights. I know trivia nights at bars are super popular. There's – different companies that do game show experiences where you can play and pretend to be in these game shows, like, you know, Wheel of Fortune, Let's Make a Deal, things like that. Well, not Let's Make a Deal, I guess, but yeah.
I know some other locally, shows like that. Locally here, okay,
there's
it
a
may
few.
Not be everybody's favorite spot, but we have a certain casino here that they, quite a regular basis, do the Price is Right.
Yeah.
To where they bring in the wheel, they have the wheel, and you come down as a contestant, and so you're right. There is many
different ways
opportunities
that we can bring. Yeah,
that wasn't available then. Like, I mean, if you wanted to be on The Price is Right, you went to wherever it was in Los Angeles. You put in an application, and hopefully got picked. And even The Price is Right. So maybe you know, and maybe don't. Price is Right. I know that, like, they would call you from the audience, but were all those pre-selected, or was it really like kind of just they had 100 people, they drew in the hat and called the name out?
Yeah. So what would happen is people would line up to be on that episode of Price is Right, and they would do like quick interviews with people just to kind of see personality wise who's going to be a good fit for the show, who's going to like really excited, who's there celebrating something fun, things like that. So they do kind of like screen everybody, and they do select who they would like to come on. I know lots of people have been on The Price is Right who have, like, Cody Brown from Sister Wives was on The Price is Right. I can't think of anyone else famous at the moment. John Krasinski, I want to say, was probably – might have been on The Price is Right. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll Google that while you distract our audience.
But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, there's those experiences like that. But nowadays, there is many opportunities to have those different experiences if you want to, like, experience that traditional game show-esque. The important question I have to ask Lori is –
I was thinking of Aaron Paul. Sorry.
Okay. Which one do you prefer? What's your favorite? So if you have your gambit of years of watching game shows from traditional mm-hmm. to newer, what style do you like best? Or are you in the middle?
Old school game shows. I like the simple old school game shows, Card Sharks, To Tell the Truth. Like, I like those kinds of shows. The No Whammy one. What's it called? Yeah. What's it called? It's going to drive me nuts. Pressure Luck. I love that.
Yes.
I just love, like, you know, the not celebrities, the you can play at home as a, you know, contestant. What I loved about Pressure Luck is that they would ask a question, you would buzz in, and you would give an answer. And whether or not your answer was right or wrong, like, it was given as a multiple choice for the other two contestants. So even if you were wrong, it could be an answer. You could maybe trick other people into sure. believing you or whatever. Or if you were the smart one at the end, you were like, actually, it's 13 or whatever. I would rather do that. What about you?
You know, I would say traditional, but then I'd have to go back and think about the episode we recorded last week and talked about some of the pivotal game shows that stuck with me. And they were more of the experience you kind of watch and experience with them, like Guts, like American Gladiator.
Yeah.
And those type of things where you built those and like, yeah. So I would say, I don't know, I'm kind of in the middle. I like both. I think they both bring different things sure. that kind of scratch a different itch. So, you know, at times I like the being able to participate and, oh, I know that question. I know that I can answer that. Or
yeah.
I also like that getting invested in the people and like you can make it yeah. through and you're rooting for that guy to pull through and stuff like that. Even like before we wrap up here, I got to ask the best. I know the answer to this question, but I want our fans to hear the answer to this question.
Sure.
Laura,
yes.
How would you do on this particular game show? Amazing Race.
Okay, so I have many phobias, and one of my phobias is just traveling in general. I hate it. I want to know where I'm at all times. So it's like, in the past, it's like, I could get you to my boyfriend's house in a grocery store. I don't know how to get anywhere else. I would be terrible at the Amazing Race. But I always wanted to go on it and be the first one out because I think that they, or at least they did at the beginning, maybe they kept you on a vacation so people wouldn't know where you were in place. So I'm like, I would just fail. I would be at the airport. They would give us our card. They would say, go to Indiana. And I would sit down and just start sobbing and get to go on vacation. Like, to me, that would be the Amazing Race. But
the fun part
cry.
About it was you wouldn't even be doing it as an act, though. You would truly be no. crying because
I would be terrified.
Why do we do this?
I would be terrified going to any like airport. Like once I got to fly out for my work to go to Washington, D.C. Yeah. And I was so grateful that I was going with people from work because I was like, I'm not going to be able to navigate this airport. I flew to a wedding to Salt Lake where I grew up and I was like freaking out because I was like, I'm not going to know where to get to the terminal. I'm not going to be able to do this. The first flight I ever went on, my boyfriend at the time, his sisters worked at Southwest Airlines. And this is September 11th. And they were able to get him a pass so that he could walk me to my gate and like walk me back when I got there. He's just like, just get on the plane. When they say get on the plane, get on the plane. And then when I came home, he was able to like lead me out. But yeah, I can't do it. I get so scared not knowing where I am at all times.
We always like to joke around saying that if me and Laura went on that show, it would be her breaking down and being like, Laura, we haven't even gotten to the airport yet. Like, we haven't even left anywhere.
Laura, he's just telling us to get out of the car. And I'm like, I don't want to get out of the car. I would suck. I would be so bad at the Amazing Race. Despite who my partner was, that's not saying anything bad about Jacob. I would be a bad contestant.
So there you have it, folks. And we appreciate our listeners. We appreciate you guys who come and hear us talk about our shows that we love, shows that we hate. And even this week, just a little special, talking about some game shows and how game shows have evolved over time. And we would love to hear your thoughts on what you feel about game shows and what are some of your favorite styles and types of game shows. And you can do that over at thehopecastnetwork.com. You can leave us a voice message. You can leave us any kind of message there that we respond to. And wherever you listen to your podcast, please subscribe, like, and comment. We appreciate all those time and effort you take to like and comment. And from me and Laura here at the TV Tortured Together, thank you and have a great night in TV land.